Welcome to a bonus episode of the Blue Crew. Unusual Thursday episode, but we wanted to bring this one to you for the game tonight. It is a Rangers game night. They are in Montreal. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, Cody Frankel. We got a fun interview today with Barstool Chief out of Chicago, a huge Blackhawks fan, huge Chicago sports fan, and a huge Patrick Kane fan. We talked to him about what to expect from number 88 for the Rangers going forward. But before we do any of that, Cody, what's going on? We're not gonna have a long intro. Just gonna, get ready to the interview probably. But what's up with you?
Yeah, Johnny got his ass kicked on Twitter today. So honestly, I'm just gonna let you rant about it.
Yeah. So I tweeted this morning that I thought the Islanders goal, the Hudson Fashion goal against Buffalo on Tuesday night, I thought it was a kick. It was originally called a kick. It then got overturned and called to a good goal. So I just tweeted, I can't believe this was a good goal. I thought it was a kick, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I got fucking attacked by Islander fans all day, nonstop. Was sitting at my desk at work, just replying to tweets from 9 a.m. until right now, 5:30 p.m. So Islander fans are ruthless, man. And I didn't mean anything personal behind my opinion. If that was the fucking Arizona Coyotes versus the Sharks, I still would have thought it was a kick. But that's what you got to love about Islander fans, right? You kind of chirp them and they take it so personally.
I don't love anything about Islanders fans.
Well, yeah, I guess you don't. But I guess New York fans in general too, right? If that was the Ranger fans, they'd probably react the same way. But also, if that was the Sabres, though, if the roles were reversed, Islander fans would have been freaking out all day about how that was called a good goal. I don't know if you saw the replay of it. Fashion.
I'm just reading the mentions and I'm just seeing every single one just says, Johnny, do you ever stop bitching?
Yeah, I got roasted literally all day. People saying I don't know the rules of the game. Actually, funny enough, Dave Jackson, former NHL. Former NHL ref Dave Jackson, who's now the ESPN analyst on the ESPN broadcast, DM'd me and he explained the rule to me because he just saw me getting attacked. And we actually ended up DMing all day.
Imagine he was just yeah, buddy. You were wrong and all these
things. No, he basically said I was wrong. I really was wrong, though. I think most people still don't necessarily know the rule. I had so many people tweet at me from the actual rule book. And, I guess if the puck is sitting still, you can't kick it or whatever. You can't change the direction of the puck with a kicking motion. It's still very unclear to me. And the calls are so inconsistent. But Dave Jackson was talking to me. I think he's going to come on the show in the next couple of weeks. I had to put in a request to get him on. But that'd be cool to talk to an NHL ref
already?
And get his opinion. Yeah.
Were you proactive?
Okay. Yeah. It'll be cool to get an opinion from an NHL ref, especially before the playoffs, because we know there's going to be a controversial call at some point in the playoffs this year where a team gets screwed or whatever. We saw it a lot last year in the playoffs, so that'll be cool to get him. But yeah, just a crazy day on Twitter. I literally got fucking roasted all day by Islanders fans, and basically it.
My favorite tweet I saw, I think, on your feed today was some guy tweeted at you, and it's nothing to do with the Islanders. He goes, Devils fans are not worried about the Rangers fans, though. Literally no team in the Eastern playoff picture sees them as a viable threat. Okay, you fucking little clown bozo. Why don't you DM me? Because you have no idea what you're talking about. You've made playoffs one time in 10 years, and your team's a little bunch of clowns, except for Hughes. So let's settle down.
Yeah, that was a pretty absurd take also. But yeah, I don't really have anything else. Delusional. I know we want to kind of go right into the interview with Chief. Any final thoughts before we head into it?
No. I mean, the only other thing I want to talk about is our sponsor, BioSteel. We mentioned them last week. If you guys need hydration, whether it's for the gym, you're playing street hockey, you're playing some ice hockey, any type of sport, BioSteel's got you covered. Use our code BlueCrew25. That's all caps, BlueCrew25. And I'm not sure if it's 20% off or 25% off. It's a little, a little tricky with that code, but you get one of them. So definitely use it. BioSteel is great. I got the peach mango. It's delicious. It hydrates me right after the gym. Johnny got raspberry lime because I guess that's just how he rolls.
No, I got mixed berry. Mixed berry.
I knew it was some berry. He loves the fruity stuff. So yeah, that's it. Now let's send it to our boy Chief.
This week on the Blue Crew, we have a very special guest, and it's a very special episode. We don't usually do a Thursday special, but we wanted to let this guy come on here and rant. He's a huge Patrick Kane fan and Chicago sports fan. You probably do know him if you follow Barstool Sports. So welcome to the show, Barstool Chief. Chief, what's going on, man? Been a rough week, but I imagine you've digested everything, and we want to know how you're feeling.
Boys, it's been a rough, 6 years of this organization. So This is just the latest thing in a series of just a comedy of errors. It's it. Every day that goes by, there's like a little nugget that I find out that just pisses me off even more. So I was on, I took a little bit of a ski trip to Steamboat. And then right before I was going to do a radio show on ESPN 1000, Emily Kaplan had that thing come out. Mm-hmm. And people were DMing me. And I'm like, they're probably misquoting her. So I, you know, we've had her on various shows before. So I just sent her a text being like, hey, like, just want to get clarification on what was actually said. And so she like clarified her points. I'm like, holy shit, am I enraged by the report, which was that they basically let it be known that there was no offer coming to him in the summer, which is why he then finally agreed to waive his no movement clause and go to you guys with the Rangers. Mm-hmm. But if a contract sounds like if a contract or at least it was a possibility that they would bring back the greatest player in the history of the organization, that was on the table for him, then he would have just, you know, stuck it out and played the rest of the year. Or who knows if he shuts it down, you know, after the deadline, gets a little, you know, gets that hip cleaned up if needed. I don't know. But that's not something that was on the table for him. And that is utterly absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, so, you know, being a huge Blackhawks fan, I'm sure you like all of Chicago sports in general, but are you upset he wanted out so badly towards the end? Like,
but he did
misinformation.
He didn't. Yeah, that's what Chief's saying.
That's the point. That if they had no.
But I'm saying after they fucked that up, like after they fucked it up, didn't offer him something, and he was like,
No, not at all. Like, it's one of those things. Look, he's been here for 15 years. Mm-hmm. He's been a perfect citizen for this entire, you know, 8-year contract. teammates love him. Mm-hmm. He's still, as we saw the last couple of weeks, he can turn it on. He's going to have some unbelievable moments for you guys and down the stretch in the playoffs. Like, he is the guy. And he has earned everything he can get. And if he had come to the Blackhawks and said, hey, like, I can't stomach this shit anymore. Mm-hmm. Get me out of here. And they traded him, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like that's what happened. It sounds like he was like, you know, like, maybe I don't really want to go. And then they kind of told him, like, well, we're not re-signing you in the summer. So he's like, well, and then what the fuck? I might just go have a fun couple months with Panarin, see what I can do at MSG, and then reevaluate, you know, find his next spot in the summer, because I don't think it can be you guys unless he plays for pennies in 2023-24. So it was just like, he was like, I guess if they don't want me, I might as well go. So sure, Rangers.
It's giving me a lot of Ross and Rachel on a break vibes from Friends, because I think Patrick Kane's been very vocal about retiring as a Blackhawk one day. So it's kind of like, you know, totally. It's kind of like that long-term relationship where you graduate college and you want to explore what's out there in the new city, but you know you're going to get back together one day. Well, it's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
I don't think he's coming back.
I don't think so. I think he'll sign a one day and retire at Blackhawk if that's
fuck
the case.
That. Why would he do that? Why? So they're going to sell more tickets for Patrick Kane night. Fuck that.
Probably.
So I don't think he's coming back, because if he was coming back and they wanted him back, they would have re-signed him. They would, or put that offer on the table. They were eligible to start renegotiating with him on July 1st of last summer. And that's when they could have started doing that deal. That's when they should have started doing that deal. He's coming off a 92-point year. If he can stomach the losing, the guy who did everything for you, and he's clearly on board with the rebuild, like he knows everything about hockey. He can see the writing on the wall. He can look down the bench and see that his center is Jason fucking Dickinson. He knows.
Yeah.
But he can also be like, if I stay here, I'll be number one in games played. I'll be number one in points. I got 3 Stanley Cups. I've got an MVP. I might have Connor Bedard. I could have my family here. He's got his girlfriend, baby mama, whatever, is from here. Mm-hmm. He's building a house on the North Shore, supposedly. Everything he wants is right here. And the Hawks are like, get lost. Infuriates me. And then on top of that, this organization does everything for optics. everything for optics. It's all bullshit. Start telling the truth. They did this mural parking lot. Goodbye, Patrick Kane. Everybody come and say a little goodbye thing. You got washed away in the rain the next day, and it's a perfect analogy. I am furious. They do everything the wrong way and try to make themselves just seem like the good guy. Mm-hmm. Shut the fuck up and start doing things the right way.
Yeah, I got a I got a good buddy, Tyler, who's from Chicago as well. And, you know, he's been pretty vocal about their brass for quite some time now, as it seems like you are. You know, that whole scandal happened, whatever. You know, you know that happened. Like, from there, everybody was already fuming with the brass, and now the way they handled this is just as bad. And it's like
the other thing. That's the other thing with the brass. Like, the old brass, which was John McDonough running thing, mm-hmm. and Stan Bowman. McDonough was probably going to get forced out. Okay, he was the president. Mm-hmm. He's a bad guy. He is a bad guy.
Yeah.
But Bowman had been horrible.
Yeah.
Basically, since the day he was hired, which was in 2010, the whole thing had already been put together for him. Okay. He was given a Ferrari and ruined it. Okay. Dale Tallon, Joel Quenneville, Neil Smith, the other guys who were involved in the organization, they put that team together, and Stan got to have the glory. When he actually had to keep it on the rails, he was a complete and utter disaster, moron. So I've had a problem with him since 2016, he's been, I don't know if he made a good move. I don't know if he made a good move. And the brass promoted him. The new regime promoted him to president of hockey ops. He'd still be here running this thing into the ground if not for the beach scandal. So
yeah,
he got caught up and swept up in that. They moved him out. They bring in Davidson. And I like, overall, that's like the push and pull of this thing. Mm-hmm. I think they're heading in the right direction. They have a ton of draft picks. I think that their overall philosophy of what they want in players is what I would want, which is a lot of, we'll call them high floor guys that you take later in the draft. And then you acquire draft picks and you get big mobile defensemen, and everybody is smart, fast, and hardworking. And those three things you can carve out an NHL career. And then, like we saw at the deadline, you get a guy like that. You know who's exactly like that? It's Sam Lafferty. You flip him for a two or a one, depending on who got what. They had McCabe. He and McCabe were packaged together, but they got two high picks for him. And you can just keep cycling those types of guys in, which is something Bowman was never able to do. When you lose an Andrew Shaw, there was nothing coming behind him. You trade Ryan Hartman, who love.
Hagel the Bagel. They fucked up with him, too.
Hagel's another one. Which, that trade, if you're going in, if you know, like, the ceiling of what that group was, which I would say was probably a wild card team. Last year was a disaster with the coaching staff and the beach thing. Like, they really never got out of first gear. It was the season before it started.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you had Hagel, Strome, DeBrincat,
DeBrincat's one that Johnny knows, that's my guy. That floored me. That move floored me.
Yeah. And I'm even okay with that trade too. Like, I, because it's like, we want to pursue something meaningful, which is going after a cup. And they were never going to do it with that group. They could make the playoffs with that group, which, me personally, I think I would have been fine with, because it's like, let's get some meaningful hockey here at the very end. There's always going to be, like, everyone's obsessed with Connor Bedard, and rightfully so. There's always going to be another guy coming down the pike. In fact, Connor, in the, I think it's a 2026 draft, you know who's supposed to be the number one kid? It's Connor Bedard's cousin. Okay.
Actually,
literally. And they got a different last name, but they're cousins, and he's already breaking some of those Western Canada junior records, you know, for the U15s or whatever. So there's always going to be some next great kid that you can work on. Let's have some fun, play some meaningful hockey, and let these guys ride off in the right way. I would have been okay with that direction. Be like, hey, well, we'll worry about tomorrow. I wouldn't like mortgage the future to make a wild card. I wouldn't trade a first round pick for a rental, so things like that. But you had a little nucleus there that you could have made the playoffs with. And I think that would have been fine after 6-7 years of not making the playoffs with Taves and Kane. Like, that is an unforgivable sin that they went this entire 8-year contract with no playoff wins. That, like, are you kidding? Those guys come around once in a while. They've had Stan Mikita to Bobby Hull, and they had Taves and Kane. And there's a 50-year gap in between where they were shit. And now you're just going to punt on the remainder of their deal? No. Pathetic. And now, so they went in this other direction, trying to win big, which again, I'm on board with that too. And I think they're doing a good job. Like, I'm fine with either direction, but don't tell me your organization is better off without Patrick Kane, because it's not.
I actually wanted to, you know, steer in a different direction a little bit now that the trade is, you know, past us. I'm curious on your thoughts of just the feeling where you are right now and where this organization is right now. Mm-hmm. Is the joy of winning a cup and seeing your team win a Stanley Cup, not three, just one, more enjoyable than the suffering you're going through right now? Because I almost think that the Ranger fans might be in somewhat of a better position where, you know, the last 10, 15 years, every season, the Rangers have at least like had hope to win a Stanley Cup and there was no pain and suffering, but we've never had the joy of actually getting over the mountaintop. So It is a weird situation where you've had that feeling, but now you're in the opposite end of the spectrum where we've had this steady kind of incline throughout the last 10, 15 years. So I don't know which one I'd prefer, because I've almost gotten used to enjoying the pain and suffering a little bit at the end of the climb, but it's nice to know that there's always been that competitive team every year.
It's hard for me to answer that, because I only know my own reality, which is when I was a little kid, the team was very good. So I'm 36 now, early 90s up until like 96. Like that was a good team, but I was a little too young to remember, but they had Chelios, they had Belfour, they had Jeremy Roenick, Tony Amani. Like they had some really good players. And I think they went to the conference final once. And I remember them losing to the Avalanche the year the Avs won the cup. I think I was like 10. All of my memorable sporting years happened after that. They were the worst team in sports. Like ESPN used to rank every North American sports franchise. And the Blackhawks finished dead last in like 4 years in a row. Like the games weren't on TV. And when they were on TV, you didn't want to watch because they were one of the worst teams in the league. So it went from this being like, this fucking sucks. And like, we still go to games. But you would like, I loved Peter Forsberg. So we'd go to games when Peter Forsberg was in town. And then I really liked watching Joe Thornton play. And so when the Sharks came in, you'd go to watch the other players, because there's nobody worth watching on the Hawks. Yeah. And then, but you still like, they're still your team. You still like your team. And then it was like, you drafted Taves in 06, you drafted Kane in 07. And that summer, right before the start of that 07 season, their rookie year is when Bill Wirtz, who was the current CEO owner, Danny Wirtz's grandfather, who he's still like a villain in this town. He's a guy who took games off TV, got rid of Chelios, got rid of Dominic Hasek, got rid of Belfour, got, you know, like all the guys that we loved as kids, he just shipped them right out because he didn't want to pay them.
Yeah.
And so he died. Rocky comes in, games are on TV. And then that first year was Taves and Kane's rookie year. They were like fun, you know, like they didn't make the playoffs, but they were fun. The next year, they're in the conference finals. A year after that, they win the cup. And it was just – so it all happened so fast. So I've never really had an existence. And then from 10 to 15, they won three times and went to the conference finals another time. I wish it would have beat the Rangers in 14, too. That would have been four cups. They would have won that series.
We all think that the Rangers had a better chance against the Blackhawks. Yeah.
Why? You guys are so stupid. Yeah. Like that's just something, that's a game you're playing with yourself. The Hawks were a better team. They lost on a deflection off of Nick Leddy's butt in game seven overtime, 14. But I think they would have dusted the Rangers too.
They blew a 2-goal lead in that game too, I think. No?
No, I think they might. I think they came back. I can't remember, to tell you the truth. Mm. They were down 3-1 in that series and made it 3-3 and then overtime loss. So But then you went from that, and then they had the 16 year where they kind of had to dismantle things because of money. So Brandon Saad left. They had a couple other pieces move on, but they were still good. They made the playoffs, lost in game seven, the Blues. And then, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Being fucking terrible and not having any reason to watch the team or have any hope has been bad. And it's been like that for five plus years now. And they're saying like, well, it's only going to be another 4 years of this. Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, to add to that a little bit, I mean, Chicago in general is in a pretty rough spot right now in terms of sports. So like
quarterback.
So what's next for Chicago sports? Like, who do you think's the next team that is seriously going to be a consistent contender?
Yeah. It feels like it's odd that it feel like the Bulls might have the best winning percentage, but they feel the furthest away. The Cubs are probably trending in the right direction, but they're a few years away.
Yeah, they made some nice moves. And the White Sox probably have the most talent on their team, but they're just a fucking hot mess.
Always. Yeah. And then, yeah, I like the Bears. I think the Bears are – I really believe in Fields. I know people outside the market who don't – you know, they might watch highlights instead of watching them for 60 minutes. Like Dave Portnoy, for example, calls him the 58-minute man.
No, I think Fields is legit. And, yeah. You know, I'm a Jets fan, so I understand the pain. And
yeah, you guys might have Aaron Rodgers.
Derek Carr went away today, so –
But you might have Aaron Rodgers, and then that means nice. The division is really wide open. And they have the number one pick, so hopefully you'd be able to flip that into more assets. They got a ton of money to spend on free agency. Like I think the expectation is that the Bears –
They're not keeping that pick. There's no way.
But I think the expectation is that they'll be right there for the playoffs this year if they do things the right way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as mad as I am about the Blackhawks, I think they're on the right path. It's just like they fucked up this Kane situation, but I like the prospects that they've already acquired. They're gonna.
if it makes you feel better, the West just traded away all their talent, so the West could be wide open in a couple of years.
So. The West is wide open now, and it will still be wide open because eventually the Avalanche are gonna have to start paying everybody. You look at the Avalanche; they lost Naz Kadri. They're not, and they've had a ton of injuries, and we'll see if they can flip the old Blackhawks Lightning playoff switch the way that those teams have done the last several, you know, the way the Hawks used to coast during the regular season and end up as like a sixth seed and be like, oh, let's just kill everybody now. And they would, and it was awesome. And I think the Avalanche probably have that ability to do that too. So we'll see if they can do it this year in the playoffs. But other than that, I mean, it's teams that are kind of scraping by. You feel like Dallas is having a big year, but all their guys are older. Winnipeg, kind of same thing. Nashville, effectively, they're stuck / tearing it down. St. Louis tore it down. There's nobody.
Kraken look legit.
Kraken are they're a sneaky kind of fun team to watch, but they only have one.
That's scary.
I love Matty Beniers, but they don't really have any real star power. And you need that in the playoffs. So, but they're like they're solid, but I can't envision that team ever winning a cup. Vegas seems like it has to catch up to them eventually. And they're an older, you know, more veteran team. So all of these, like the West is there. Like, I don't know what the Oilers are going to do, but the West is there for the taking. If you can do this the right way. And I believe in the project. It's just, I'm so mad at them. So it's like two ideas in my head at the same time. Like they're doing well, except for this one area, which has really fucking pissed me off.
So I want to give a shout out to Tommy Lay and Avery Zaretsky, who are, you know, friends of the show, big Ranger fans at Barstool. I know there was a lot of back and forth and beef that you had at Ranger.
Bro, you're going to ignore Glennie, dude?
Glennie Balls, too. I forgot Glennie came on the show.
Wow.
Glennie as well. Good call. I forgot about that. But
smart guy.
You know, thinking back to last week, there was a lot of beef at Ranger fans. You know, I saw you actually had a really funny tweet of a guy that was in your DMs, like a really nice Ranger fan, I think. Are you on board with us? Are you against us? What is your vibe with this Rangers team going forward?
Yeah, so I didn't have an opportunity to watch the first two games because I was traveling. So I think that might impact it. But honestly, like
– New York and Chicago are kind of, you know
– No, we're kind of like
so?
We're kind of
You think
like
so?
Yeah, I think so. Like, and maybe that's just me, but that goes back to like Bulls Knicks in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I do feel like we're like LA, that's like a fake person place where I feel like New York and Chicago are both like great big city sports towns. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like, and you guys, because of your population and your brand, you have like an outsized voice and we're a big New York company. So a lot of our followers in that area. You guys have an outsized voice in my mentions. Fucking crazy. And I'm starting to think like, oh, that people are like, if they go to the conference finals, it turns into a first round pick. Yeah. In like 2025. I don't really believe that that pick will probably be anywhere from 22 to 32. Okay. That's not going to make or break the rebuild. I kind of just would rather have the asset now and have that pick be what it would be like 50 this year. So that'd be two first round picks and four second round picks this year. So I don't really think I'm not really on board, I guess, because I don't think it really matters in terms of where the value of that pick is.
Yeah.
Or even
yeah,
just the fun of it, I meant, you know, seeing Kane in New York.
Well, I want to add to that. I want to add to Johnny's question, because believe it or not, as you probably witnessed firsthand in your mentions, Rangers fans for sure are snippy. You know, they some Rangers fans out there who are shockingly not happy about the trade.
Those are the ones that I hate. Those are
they'll find so that, you know, they'll find a way to you know, some fans will find a way to just, no matter what, it's a lose-lose. So can you just maybe tell those fans specifically what kind of player they're getting in Patty Kane and like why they should be excited for this trade?
Yeah, I think, look, the reports that I'm hearing were those first two games were underwhelming. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I only watched the first one.
Yeah, they weren't good. I mean, they're you know, they weren't good. But
yeah, so I think there's going to be an adjustment period. New location, new teammates, even if he is with his soulmate, Panarin. But he's gonna get it rolling, and they're gonna get it rolling. What you're getting is you're getting the whole package. He doesn't get enough credit for how he is as a leader. He doesn't get enough credit for how he is defensively. Like, he does contribute defensively. I know some of the analytics are like, oh, he sucks defensively. Like, no shit. Like, his center is Jason Dickinson, and he's playing with Caleb Jones and some other, you know, guy on defense. Like, it's just like, the team's horrible. So that's how analytics work in hockey.
Yeah.
Well, all the hard-o Ranger fans are happy he's -4 in his first two games that they won.
It's, yeah, because they're counting plus minus, just like they're probably doing Corsi too, which is another bullshit. But they're going to figure it out. And I can't wait to see him with Adam Fox and Panarin on that power play, because those guys are all like Einstein level hockey brains. Mm-hmm. And Kane's never really, as great as those teams were, he never had a defenseman like that. Like, Duncan Keith would bomb things from the point, or Seabrook would bomb it from the point, but it was really just, it was Kane quarterbacking everything. And I think they're going to have like a little bit of Globetrotter stuff once they really kind of get in sync and read each other. And it might take a month. Because it's, you know, hockey's not easy. So I think, but it's going to work. It, like, guaranteed it'll work. I mean, and you know, like, you know, you're UMass guy, like, you know that it takes some adjustment periods for new teammates and new systems and the way what the coaches want you to do and just reading off players. And it's like an anticipation thing. Like, you have to like split second know where that guy is going to be, even if you're not even looking at him. Mm-hmm. And that's going to come, and you're going to have big time offense. You're going to have all the little things. You're going to have a couple of moments where it's like, we need a little bit of magic to win this, you know, game 3 versus New Jersey or whatever it ends up being. And he will deliver. He will, like, God is my witness, Patrick Kane will have a big moment for you guys in overtime of the playoffs. And you guys are like, this is the greatest guy ever. Cause he is. He is a truly, I've never seen anybody as clutch as him. And I know people like probably the same people who think Patrick Kane is -4 are the same people who, he sucks now.
Well, it is a fact. He is -4.
I know. He's -4. And then
I'm pretty sure Panarin's -2 on the year. So it's like,
probably worse than that.
They're going to turn around and say that like the clutch thing isn't a thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you Philly in 2010? Minnesota Wild people still have PTSD. He ended their dream so many times. Mm-hmm. He killed the LA Kings when he needed to. Game 5 against Boston, where Marchand was like this and chirping in 2013, and Kane gates up to him and goes, you should have kept your mouth shut for like 4 points. And that's like, you know, one of those hot mic things from, I don't know, whatever the equivalent of NFL films is.
Mm-hmm.
You should have kept your mouth shut. He exploded. And same thing with the Lightning. You look at that, the clinching game there. He had the assist and the clinching, you know, they won 2-0, but the goal to put him up 2-0. And it was like, this guy, every single time, Vancouver, he had the hat trick like early in his career. Every single time the team needed him to come through, he came through. He's a perfect right wing. Perfect right wing. And he's going to fit in great with you guys. Fuck off.
That was a good good description there.
Yeah. Are you cool with like one more each, Chief?
I got nothing but time for you.
You go first, Johnny. I got one more good one for you.
I'm just curious, you know, there's obviously a lot of moments to pick from the Patty Kane memory that sticks out the most in your mind when you think about it? Like, you remember where you were, what you were doing? Because, you know, we have a lot of those moments with certain players, but not, like, you know, close to what I can imagine you have.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many. I remember, so the first cup, I watched it with my dad, and I got a brother who's 10 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like, you know, we had season tickets, and we almost like, you because of what I had said at the beginning, like you almost couldn't believe they were even in the final. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you just have this vision of the puck coming around. It goes Sopel to Brian Campbell, and Brian Campbell dumps it off to Kane on the half wall. And when he got the puck, you're like, he gives a little shoulder shimmy. Mm-hmm. He's like, wanted the puck on his stick in that moment to go win the game. And then he scores the goal, and nobody can really quite tell. And I, you know, I went to every game in February because I wanted to see, worried that this was the end. I want to see him mm-hmm. in person. And he was unbelievable in February, but he had a goal against Toronto to get a hat trick that they were reviewing, but he was already celebrating. And I'm like, you know what? This is just like 2010. And every other time, if Patrick Kane says it was in, I threw my head on the ice before the because it's like whatever he says is right. Mm-hmm. And so is that moment in 10. I mean, there's been like too many, but I used to love that Vancouver rivalry. They played in the playoffs 3 years in a row. Yeah. And I think it was game six in 2009. So before they had won, and they were heavy underdogs in that series. That was like kind of their coming out party. And game six up in Vancouver, and they win like 6-4, and he has a hat trick and an assist. Like, and his hat trick was spectacular, like crazy backhand, like unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember the backhand goal, the dangle, the one-on-one backhand goal.
Crazy, crazy. Yeah. And mm-hmm. it was just like, so to answer your question, I've got like 12 of them.
Yeah.
And I won't go through each one of them, but that's like he like provided all the joy of my entire 20s. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like whether it was with my dad or friends or alone, it was just watching him, and he always came through. He was spectacular.
That's awesome. Yeah, my last question, I got a fun one for you. If you could write a not safe for work email right now to Stan Bowman, what would the subject line read?
I mean, I kind of just do it in the blog all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
it's I need one line. I need one line.
Subject line? Hey, fuckhead. and then 40,000 words as an email. But mm-hmm. like he's
40,000 words.
Yeah.
Fucking writing his college essay over here.
It goes on forever. And he was hired, and just like the way he pushed out Joel, that was
That
was such bullshit. And to bring in a guy, because Joel was just like, Stan failed upwards, and he was a great kiss ass. And Dale Tallon never got along with John McDonough, and McDonough wanted to be the guy in charge. So they waited for an opportunity to fire Dale Tallon so they could put the yes man in. That was Stan Bowman. And then Stan Bowman was always butting heads with Joel. People don't know all of that, but doesn't matter. They hated each other. They hated each other. So when he pushed him out, he's like, I'm going to get a guy who will do whatever the fuck I say. And that was Jeremy Colleton. And just when you thought things couldn't get any worse, they fucking cratered. And that's like the thing with this organization. Just when you think it can't get worse, it does. And it's like we had a great run from 9 until 16. 16 was still a pretty good team. 17, they won the West in the regular season, but that was all Patrick Kane, Panarin, and goaltending. That team was not that was a very flawed team. And it's been a rough it's sad. It's sad that you sign those two guys to 8-year deals and you can't win one playoff series. And now it's over just like that. When he wants to still, even though they never gave him a center, they traded away anybody he ever like had chemistry with, whether it was Patrick Sharp, Panarin, DeBrincat. They're just like, he'll figure it out. And he always did. But I can't even imagine if they had gotten him a real center or kept Panarin, he'd probably have another 250 points. And that's not even an exaggeration. Another 25 points a year, like legit.
So I want to wrap it up by asking you two different versions of a question. What would your message be to Ranger fans if they lose in round one? If you'd like to say, like, similar to what Cody just said, like one thing, the Rangers lose round one, what are you saying to Ranger fans?
I'd be very nervous if I were you guys if you lose round one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know what to say to you guys because it's almost like it's almost like now you're suddenly in that conversation with the teams that are like, you have a really nice nucleus, but the pieces that you needed to be stars, which is Laugh and Kakko, they're nice players, but they're not what you would normally want from a top three pick or one overall. You're starting to get a little bit up there and your cap constraint a little bit. Like this is like, you guys better win this year.
Yeah.
Like for real. Like if you don't win this year,
I said the same exact thing.
Yeah. And it's appropriate to go all in because this is when you go all in. It's before you have to pay Condre. It's before you have to, you know, you're going to have to pay Laugh something. I don't know how much he'll come in. Yeah.
Heedle too.
Keandre.
Yeah, I said
the first one.
Okay.
I've been obsessed with Condre Miller since 16. Like I saw him play it like at a rink over by my parents' house. I'm like, this is the guy. go get this guy. And at that time, he was like, the North American Scouting Service had him ranked like, I don't know, like 200th or something like that. I'm like, nope, this is the guy. And so, if you're going to have to start paying those guys and it just gets very difficult. That's where the Hawks, you know, they won one cup on Taves and Kane's rookie deal. Mm-hmm. Then they won two on their RFA deals. So they went from making the league, you know, 900K to making six. And then they bumped up to 10.5. They never won anything when they're at 10.5. It's hard to build a team. They could have done it if they didn't fuck up so many ways. Mm-hmm. But if you don't win this year, Ranger fans, I won't be the guy to needle you. I promise. Because you guys have been needling me a lot, but I'll take the high road. I'm taking the high road, but you guys might be cooked. You might just be like a good team that never wins, just like you have always been.
Yeah. All right, Johnny, do you want to ask your second version?
No, I was going to say the second. On the flip side, what's your message if they do win the Stanley Cup?
And before you answer that, do you think if they get it all together in the next 18, 19 games to wrap up the season, they can win the Cup?
Yeah, I think they have everything. I think the Rangers are deep. They have all the offense they need. I think Igor, you know, if you look at the teams in the East, like who other than Vasilevsky, who do you trust more than him? Probably nobody. I think Igor is a difference maker. Special teams are going to matter. I think the power play will be awesome. I have a future on the Rangers to win the Cup. Even though it would be like a nice little payout for me, I don't really want to cash it.
Well, who's the first person you're texting if they win it?
Oh, I'm shutting my phone off. I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to text Tom Lay. I'm not going
to. The problem is you wouldn't have to text anyone. Everybody's just going to fucking start texting you. Yeah, you could shut your phone off and turn it on and there's going to be 50 texts waiting for you.
They win the Cup. I might have to throw my phone in the lake. You know, like that's for my own mental health. So, but yeah, I definitely think they can win the Cup. They have everything. And, you know, they have the shutdown type of D. What's the deal with Lindgren? Is he going to be okay?
He's coming back Thursday. He's back Thursday.
So
they got
Miller, they got Fox, they got. I feel like Ranger fans kind of hate Trouba, but
hate him. Yeah, they do. They hate him. They hate him because he's so inconsistent. But he's such a difference maker when he can set the tone. It's huge. But
if he was making $4 million instead of what he's making,
of course, but he's not.
But he's not. But in the playoffs, it doesn't fucking matter, right? There's no cap in the playoffs. If I were a Ranger fan, I'd be mad about Trouba this coming summer. Right now, I like him. He's like a playoff kind of guy. He throws his body around. He's mean. He's a good skater. He can log minutes. Obviously, they have a ton up front. Maybe a little thin at center. Would you guys agree with that? A little bit.
Rangers?
No. Heedle. They have Heedle. They have Mog. So
I don't
they
love
have,
Heedle.
They have Trocheck and Zibby.
I love Zibanejad, but they don't have like – they don't have
– How'd
like,
you say that?
Zibanejad?
Okay.
Let it go, man.
No, that was
stop picking on him, bro.
That was funny.
So Mika. Okay.
Well, it's a mouthful. I don't play.
But I don't like Trocheck as a number two center. Yeah, I don't like it, if you look at the teams that win, they have a Ryan O'Reilly, they have a Taves, they have a Kopitar, they have a Bergeron.
I mean, Tro's got 49 points in 63 games in 20.
He's not like a Selke kind of guy. Which is kind of
they don't need that because every they literally team have to win.
What do you mean you don't need a Selke?
Yeah, I mean Sure.
You dug yourself in a hole here, Cody.
No, well, I was going to say they don't, I didn't mean they don't need that. I meant they don't need that because we have fucking every winger and their mother on our team. We have Tarasenko, Panarin, Kreider. Yep.
No, you do. And the Hawks, when they were winning, they were not built in that traditional way. Outside of Taves, they never really had a great center. They had a good fourth line center with Kruger, but they didn't have like your, but Taves kind of, he kind of did everything, right? Like Martin, he was. Yeah.
Tro's great on face-off. He's so good on face-off.
Now? Yeah, that was me. I had that coming.
Yeah, Hanzu. So, and then they had Brad Richards, your boy, for 1 year and 15, but he was like a shell of himself. And he was just, and he got to play with Kane. So, I don't know. That their depth up the middle is like the one thing I'd be a little bit nervous about. But other than that, they're loaded. The Rangers are loaded.
All right. Well, I mean, I got nothing else. Cody, you got any final things? I want to let you, you know, plug whatever, you know, whatever you want to before.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I mean, I think we got out of the show. Like you're fully on board the Rangers train and, we'll just,
I believe in the Rangers. I just don't want them to.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll fucking take it, man. Yeah. We'll take all the support we can get. And, you know, all of our friends listening, just shoot him a DM. He loves them. So
I'm actually I'm hoping to be back in Chicago come May Memorial Day weekend.
I'll come out with the boys, but I might if they lose, I'm just gonna have a shit eating grin on my face.
We saw a good game at that bar last time. What was it called again? I want you to say the name. What was
Racine Plumbing. It's a Giants, you know, Rangers, New York sports bar, and then it's also Notre Dame, but it's a good spot.
Yeah, it was an awesome time. Nice, they had the goal song going. It was great. But, Chief, we want to thank you so much. And, we'll hopefully have you back on when Patrick Kane wins the Stanley Cup, and we'd love to get your reaction to that.
Johnny says that to everyone. I think we will.
I would like to come back on when he scores an OT winner, and and I could just be like, see, I told you guys didn't want – the Ranger fans who didn't want him, you owe me an apology. That's what I want.
Yeah, if he has his big moment, we will actually – Have you run it back?
Guarantee he will have a big moment. That's a Ryan Brandel, Barstool Chief guarantee he will have a big moment.
I love that. Guarantee. Thank you, Chief.
Love it.
Yep. Thanks, boys.
We want to thank Chief for coming on and ranting for a little bit about Chicago sports and Patrick Kane and just where he is mentally. Hopefully his guarantee does come to life and we can have him back on here to talk about a Patrick Kane overtime winner. But not much left for this week, Cody.
Great guy. Great interview. Very, very fun. And you can tell by, you know, the vibe from him. I mean, obviously all of us who have been hockey fans our entire lives have watched Patrick Kane play. We know he's a game changer, but you know, you can see what he meant to that city just by hearing Chief talk. And I think fans are going to love him. I just think he needs to figure it out and get going. And as Chief said, man, guarantee and have some big moments and, you know, bring that fucking cup back to New York City. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. We actually just agreed that if Kane scores an overtime winner in the playoffs, we're getting his immediate reaction for a emergency podcast. So let's hope that happens, but I think that's going to do it for this episode. We got another one coming out probably on Monday with another pretty awesome guest. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that. And Cody, send it off.
LFGR, baby.